So I want to summarize. If I were somebody that had candida and I had a really high candida score and I really wanted to start addressing that, one thing that I could do or a routine that I could put together for myself is this liver cleanse routine where, let's say it's spring and it's time for me to start focusing on this. And so I start focusing on taking the burden off my liver. I focus on eating more raw foods, especially the green smoothies and nice salads and cultured vegetables and things like that, miso and natto. And then I would be able to do things like avoid animal protein, have a little, some nice soups and some quinoa and grains and things like that, and focus on some healing herbs like burdock root and things like that. I would be able to take Livermen to help my liver.
Mm-hmm.
Colonics and home enemas may be part of my routine. Jumping on a mini, mm-hmm. mini trampoline may be part of my routine.
Mm-hmm.
And part of why I want to say that is because if I'm all of these things, fitting these practices in the body ecology system is really going to address the candida as well and the infections as well, because body ecology in and of itself is an antifungal, antibacterial, antiviral diet. So if I'm doing it this way, in the way that I just described, in the way that you taught us tonight, that would allow me to conquer infection and also focus on my liver.
Right. You're basically doing them together. Now, you said something important. I'm glad you asked, you know, said that, what you said in that particular way, because I think I need to clarify something, too. You can always take the burden off your liver. You don't have to wait for spring. I just want people to understand that every single spring, whether we want to or not, our body naturally moves into a major detoxification. Half the year it's cleansing. Half the year it's not. You don't have the power of nature behind you if you choose to cleanse. Now, if you are in the middle of winter and you're living in a freezing cold climate, you're going to have to stay warm. And so going on a raw foods diet may be more difficult for you to do, but I wouldn't say to the person necessarily wait till spring, but understand that it is the season for resting and being quiet and still, and you won't be able to detoxify as effectively as you will in the spring and the summertime. But I'm glad you got me to say that, is that I wouldn't say don't do it at all until the spring and the summer come, but just understand that the winter is when you normally would want to have fats and proteins to stay warm. Now, again, if you're living in a climate like California and Arizona and Florida, you could be working on your liver more often. But when spring comes, you'll have more power behind you to do that liver cleanse.
That's really good to know. And then what happens if, is there a time that I should not start to do a cleanse? So say, for example, I'm going through a really busy time at work. I know I need to cleanse, but I'm going through this incredibly busy and stressful time at work. Would that be a time to wait until I can sort of set aside some time and have time to rest and things like that? Like,
mm-hmm.
what would you recommend for somebody in that situation?
Well, I would say for many people, because they are working and they are busy, that they should save a day or two on the weekend. Maybe let the weekends be your cleansing days. That's another way to cleanse, too. You can have 5 days of just doing your normal, you know, life and eating very healthy, like normal body ecology life, but you could have Sunday be your day of cleansing. And so on that day you ate very well, or maybe you, you know, did a home enema, or, in, you know, you on Friday you had a colonic, on Saturday you rested, and that was your quiet, you know, time for detoxifying too. It's a little bit hard because people's weekends are often very, very busy as well. But, yes, you actually have to kind of schedule ahead and say, I'm going to create this time just for cleansing. You don't want to be cleansing when you're very, very busy the week before some major event is going to occur. Also, there are certain people that shouldn't cleanse. If you're very weak, you don't need to be being on an active cleansing program. Just the normal cleansing that your body will go through when you go on a diet, like the body ecology diet, and you eat all these wonderful probiotic foods, they're powerful cleansers. Adding fiber in your diet is very important because it grabs onto the toxins and binds them up for removal. So a plant-based diet like ours, which is 80% plant-based, and you know, even you can do it 100% plant-based if you want to by having quinoa and millet. The vegetables that we eat, the quinoa, the millet, and so on, they are wonderful sources of fiber that bind onto the toxins and move them out of the body. So you don't really have to do a strong or be actively in a detoxification program. If you are on our diet, you will be cleansing all the time, slow and steady, which is kind of like what I'm really trying to say about the turtle, just slow and steady, plodding along, keeping your eye on doing things the right way for your body, and you'll look back in 2 or 3 years and you'll have this much healthier, cleaner body. And it, well, I'm not way before then. I mean, we've had people be on the Livermint and go back to their doctor and have totally different liver tests and their blood cholesterol levels change. And there's so many signs of the body rapidly responding just in a matter of 2 months. So the probiotic foods and getting your energy up, like one of our products too that's actually very cleansing, is the ocean plant extract. It helps remove mercury and radiation, but protects you against radiation. But it also has such a powerful, strong, nurturing effect on the thyroid that it ups your energy. And again, I would rather see people focus not so much on, you know, I've got to detoxify, I've got to go in a special detoxification program, is what can I do to get more energy in my body and let my body naturally detoxify on its own, not be so impatient, which is not really natural for us. Like, we want things now. If we want something from the store, we want it right this minute. We want to, and that's how we want to detoxify our bodies. They sound so bad, we want to get rid of them immediately. But again, if you get rid of them too fast, you can be pretty sick. And we don't want that either, so we say slow and steady wins the race. Now, some people would not be good candidates for cleansing if they're, say, pregnant or nursing. If the mother goes on a detox program and gets all this extra poisons, mercury and, you know, all kinds of bad things down in her milk, their baby's going to get that and can get very, very sick. The baby can be quite ill from that. Not good time to do it when the baby's in the womb either. But if you create a really healthy baby after they get out, and you can do things like give the baby tiny little spoonfuls of the juice of the cultured vegetables, for example, or of the young coconut kefir, then they will, and your own breast milk is healthy and well-nourished. You know, it's a nourishing breast milk. This baby, and he's loved, and he gets lots of positive attention and smiles. His energy will be so strong that he can push off out his own toxins. Children have so much life force in them when they first come into the world, even this generation today, which doesn't have the life force that, you know, people had 2 generations ago. Even so, they're young and they've got great vitality still to push out toxins, most of them. And some of them, you know, have infections in the body, so you do want to get them on these probiotic foods as soon as possible and put them on the body culture diet. Get the sugar out of their diet. That really takes away their energy. But build a strong, healthy child, and their bodies will detoxify very efficiently. Now, one of the things that I've watched going on for the last several years with our bedrock group, Body Ecology Diet, Recovering Our Kids, an amazing group of parents who are working to help their children recover from autism. They are so smart and so dedicated, and they figure out so much on their own that the doctors are even learning from them. But several years ago, I introduced the concept of doing enemas to these moms, and they didn't know anything about enemas because, you know, when they came along, nobody was doing home enemas anymore. But a generation before, their parents, if you'd asked them, would have said, oh, yeah, we had an enema bag in our house. My grandmother had one in her house. And, you know, people just new to do home enemas. So I was really hesitant to bring this idea, but I watched how many, I knew how, that the kids were struggling with a tremendous amount of toxins in their body, and they couldn't get well. Their energy levels couldn't go up, and they had to get these toxins out. So I taught them about home enemas, and some of the mothers, as always, jumped right on it, made sense to them. They did it immediately. They reported awful, foul-smelling stuff coming out of these little children from 10 months old to 2, 3 years old. You know, you'd say, well, where is this coming from? And they would do them on a regular basis as needed when they saw their child was detoxifying. Even one mother with a skin rash, as soon as she had her husband was against her doing a home enema, but she just couldn't see her son scratching and bleeding any longer. So she went ahead and did a home enema. The next morning he woke up, he was almost completely free of his rash. So there are other tools coming in other classes that we're going to go over. But if you take a strong blood purifier right now and your detoxification pathways are stuck, that blood purifier, that strong liver cleansing product, is going to send a bunch of stuff out to the skin, and or you're exhausted and fatigued and feel awful and your face is real gray looking, and because they can't, those toxins can't come out. They're mobilized, ready to come out, but they can't get out. So jumping, exercising, riding your bike, taking walks, eating our probiotic-rich foods, and getting your bowels going are the things to focus on first. First things first. That's step by step. First things first. That's what this class is about, is doing the things that are important. So going into the health food store and buying these products, maybe down the road you might want to use them later on if you want to fine tune things, but they're not the things to do in the beginning. So children, there are times when you would want to help your children, but in a very gentle way, not by necessarily giving them a blood purifier. And then elderly people, they don't have the energy either to be detoxifying, and they don't have the life force left in them either to be able to push those toxins out effectively. Much, much better to create that life force in them. That's what, in the new book that I'm working on that's almost done on anti-aging, one of the things I cover in there is, and mentioned throughout the book and in numerous ways, is the importance of restoring our prenatal jing, that vital constitutional energy or jing that we were given at birth. And elderly people, or people getting older, which is kind of like all of us, we have to actually think in terms of how can we restore that original energy that we were born with, whatever it was. Some of us were born with more energy, constitutional energy, than others, but whatever we were born with, we've got to think in terms of going back to having that kind of vitality. Now, how do you do that? That's what people should be focusing on. They should be reflecting and thinking, what can I do to create more energy in my life? What do I have to take away? Sugar, checking those emails at night, so you don't get enough melatonin, so you don't sleep deeply, or hormone imbalances that are keeping you from sleeping deeply. All these things have to, what is taking the energy away? Bad relationship, I hate my job, I'm depressed, whatever. Working on the emotional stuff, getting those out of you, that's taking our energy away. And then focusing on our energy, and then allowing our body to naturally cleanse, and then helping it cleanse by doing things like enemas and jumping on the trampoline, going to see a colon therapist. I would say even for people that want to do massages are wonderful in helping people relax, but a lot of times after a massage, people don't feel well, and a massage therapist will say, well, drink a lot of water because we want you to get the toxins out. Now, that's good advice, but even the toxins can be mobilized in a massage, but the person doesn't have the ability to get them out enough. I'm big on the relaxation side of the massage, but, the timing of it is important. You might want to time it right after you've done a colonic, or right after you've done a home enema, or if you have a massage, do a home enema afterwards. And absolutely drinking lots of water is good. That's not exactly how the only way. I mean, drinking lots of water will not get toxins out of your body. Increasing your phase one and phase two in your liver does that. And how do you do that? You create a healthier liver, like we were talking about earlier.
That's really helpful. So we know then that children can detoxify, babies can detoxify, but it's all slow and steady following the diet. It sounds like just about everyone, except for babies, as below a certain age anyway, would really benefit from home enemas. Okay, so Donna, thank you. That's really helpful. So we know that we know the right age now to detoxify, that everybody can. But I think your biggest message here is to go take it slow and steady, and that simply following the body ecology diet alone will help people get healthy and detoxify.
Right, because, for example, we have 80% plant-based. We have all this wonderful fiber in our diet from the plant foods that we have. So they're helping grab up those toxins. Then we have these wonderful probiotic foods that are very, very important. They're essential for having a healthy liver and healthy, clean blood and healthy, clean cells. They play a key role in detoxifying the intestines. Remember, you know, we eat this food and it gets into the intestines. Well, if we don't digest well, if the microflora aren't there, breaking down the toxins and rendering everything non-toxic, basically, then that gets up into the liver and poisons the liver. So they are like intervening right at the gate of entry. You know, they are the guards. It's like putting guards at the gate so the bad guys can't get in. I know there's no other diet out there, or way of life really, that has these seven universal principles and has this wonderful array of delicious foods. Like, there's nothing missing from our diet. You won't find people criticizing the body called you diet for lacking anything. Like, for example, you might say the high protein diet will get a lot of people against that. Even people doing raw and vegan, you'll have a lot of argument about what's wrong with that diet. But we, because of our principle of uniqueness, if you want to go more vegetarian, and there are times when you will want to, when you're working on your liver, when you see you've moved into a liver cleansing, then yes, that's when you want to be vegetarian. So it's our understanding of how to use foods as medicine and our wonderful, and we don't have many products in our line, but they're the products people really need to create a foundation. And then other products may be wonderful too, but you've got to put that foundation in place as well. And so I try to offer things to people to help really set that major foundation into place. So yes, the diet is enough, but I still would say the other things I mentioned, like getting out and moving and exercising, eliminating stress, getting the colon cleansing as needed. I mean, that's very, very powerful. It's so powerful that we are going to devote a whole class to it soon.
I think that's great. And you know, we did have a lot of questions about constipation that we can definitely cover during that program when you and Pam Craig are talking about
colon
therapy and all the different things that people can do to work with creating a healthier colon. So I think that'll be great.
And I don't want to overwhelm people with too much information. And maybe some people are on the line and said, well, I didn't expect to hear this all about time and the spring and the liver. But as we go through these 8 weeks, I want people to have a foundation of understanding as well. And this will all start to make more and more sense. And some of it will be repeated by even the other speakers as we go along.
I think that's great. So one of the listeners asked, what are some specific symptoms of detox? And I'm just going to do a little bit of a summary. Some of the things that we covered tonight are exhaustion and fatigue, hormonal imbalances, constipation, diarrhea, acne, achy muscles and joints, insomnia, mucus discharge, fuzzy thinking, difficulty breathing, congestion, flu-like symptoms, cough, vision issues, joint issues. So it seems that a lot of things that people talk about experiencing every day, if you wake up, you said one of the top things was fatigue and that sort of general feeling of malaise, you know, the not feeling well when you wake up. And it seems like we get used to these things. It's almost like everybody says, well, this is a normal part of the aging process, and everyone's running out to get over-the-counter drugs.
Or your child is supposed to constantly have a runny nose. Like, I've heard one pediatrician say that it's common for children to get 52 infections or, you know, those are happening because these children have so much vitality, they're trying to get rid of these toxins. And if your child's nose is running all the time, there's a really good chance that they're trying to get rid of the toxins. I mean, there's a chance that he could be eating something that he's not allergic, but, you know, there's an intolerance to it, particularly if it's dairy, because dairy is very mucus-forming. But most of the time I look at these kids and they just go from one day they are cleansing and the next day, a couple of days later, they're cleansing again. Parents should expect that. This is a good thing. You want your child to have the vitality. Fevers in children are a good thing. This is something early on, about 8 years ago, with our first group of moms in the bedrock group, they started doing, you know, the things I suggested. And then soon the child would get a fever, which is scary. You know, I mean, oh, my gosh, is this working? But they soon came to realize that after every fever was an improvement in their child's health. So this is the body burning off toxins, too. I'm glad I suddenly thought of that. And vomiting, if you throw up something, that's the body. And actually, in Ayurvedic medicine, there's a healing therapy where people are encouraged to vomit. And this therapy is actually for cleaning the lungs. So coughing up mucus is a sign that, you know, the body's trying to get toxins out of the lungs as well. And then women don't realize this, but every single month they have an opportunity to cleanse toxins in their monthly cleansing when they have their period. Now, there was a time when, you know, there was, I mean, something very interesting to me is that we now have all these deodorant sanitary pads, which is, you know, a sign to how toxic the menstrual blood is. It shouldn't be toxic. And one of the things that we have consistently had reports on is when people start drinking the young coconut kefir in particular, but the fermented foods, their menstrual blood becomes so clean, almost translucent, certainly with no odor to it. So this is another sign, too, if you're having a vaginal cleansing, if you're having a period that's with an odor, it's not, your body's very toxic. But your body is trying to get them out. And men, too, they're not, don't get off the hook, you know, either scot-free because they excrete their toxins in their sperm. Well, if you're trying to make a baby, this is not so good.
And that's a really good point. And one of the things that you said I wanted to touch on as well is that sometimes people start a cleanse and start experiencing these symptoms. And we have received a lot of emails from people asking, you know, I started a cleanse and then I wasn't feeling very well and then I was feeling okay and then I wasn't feeling very well. So the question was kind of like, well, how long is this supposed to take?
That's a very good question because the answer is forever. Like as long as you have toxins, as long as you're alive, you will be cleansing and you want to be cleansing. You want to. I know it's hard. Even myself, and I know this principle really, really well, and I'm constantly telling people, oh, sounds like you're cleansing. Even myself, when I go into a cleanse, I think, oh, no, am I doing something wrong? But then I think immediately, am I doing something right? And I am. I'm always doing the best I can to eat right. And I will say that I'm under too much stress, and I definitely don't get enough exercise. And that's always my New Year's, affirmation for the New Year's, that I'm going to exercise more. But thank heavens I've got my little mini tramp, and that helps a lot. But it's forever. It's ongoing forever, and you want it to be because when you lose the ability to detoxify, you're on the way out the door. The body doesn't last much longer after that. Now, if you're feeling like you're overwhelmed by these detoxification symptoms and they never end, then you're not doing enough colon cleansing. And taking a product like Levimin that will stimulate bile and begin to get those toxins out of the body. So there's things to be doing, and that's the purpose of this whole 8-week training, is making you more mindful of the true concept of detoxification so you can become empowered to go on your own and keep studying this, keep learning, and there'll be new things coming. Because as we focus more on detoxification, we realize it's a healthy thing, and we want to encourage it. We don't want to stop it. See, this is a big deal. The fact that we're all thinking, hey, we need to detoxify. Let me get these toxins out of the body. It's a great step in the right direction because previously we were suppressing these things. Like, something's wrong with me. I'm taking a drug. I'm stifling this cleansing system. Now, you still get all these ads on TV that tell you, don't do this, I mean, stifle it, stop it, you know, but you're just suppressing it, and it's, the toxins are still there, and then those drugs are making you more toxic. It's not the way to go. So at least we've moved, at least everyone on this call has moved into a wonderful awareness that, wow, I need to find ways to get toxins out of my body.
Exactly, and you said something really important about we're always going to be cleansing, but there are also some tools that we can do to make it helpful. Like, for example, here's a listener who has been on Body Ecology for 5 months and has been having an increasing problem with major acne breakouts. And they, this person is very astute and realizes that this has to do with detoxification and wonders, is there anything they can do to help it heal? One of the things you talked about was doing enemas and colonics. That's the first thing I would say.
That person, I would like to find out if they're doing colon cleansing. When people tell me that, the first thing I ask is, have you started doing some colon cleansing? Like four colonics close together. And then, or an enema every day for about 10 days. That's what you need to do in the very beginning, because put your body on a cleansing diet like body ecology is. Don't poison it anymore. And the body flips around and becomes very eager to get rid of the toxin. So you will, and it has more energy. So you will start detoxifying. So, and then I ask people over when they tell me this, I say, well, are you doing colon cleansing? They'll usually say no, or they'll say, oh, I'm going to start, or I did one. And so you won't see results with one. You need to do them as needed, which in the beginning can be more frequently. And again, this is case by case. This is the principle of uniqueness. It would be hard for me to tell everybody to do exactly this many colonics, but this is why if you go to a very good colon therapist that is certified by the International Association of Colon Therapists, that's i-act.org, you'll find people that are trained and certified, and they are very experienced with cleansing, of course, and they do this all the time. You want to find somebody, too, that you feel very comfortable with, because they're going to become an important part of your recovery and your healing in these early stages of moving out toward wellness. Where this is the step-by-step principle, is where do we begin? I'm going to get started getting these toxins out of my body. Where do I begin? And that's why I wanted this class to be about that principle, so we understand you've got to create energy, and then, the cleansing part of that is about doing enemas. And I'd rather see people use water therapies like home enemas and colon cleansing. With colonics, I'd rather see people do that in the very beginning than just try to go to the store and buy a blood-building, blood-cleaning, liver-cleaning program, because you got to go downstream. Imagine this. Say you have a river that's flowing downstream, and all of a sudden somebody comes in and builds a dam. Now the river, which was nice and clean because it could get rid of – it was always moving water, always flowing – now it's going to start backing up. So obviously the thing to do is break down the dam and let that water flow again. But that's what colon cleansing is doing. It's opening up. Some people are, actually impacted in their colon. That definitely has to be removed. And that's what we found with our children, believe it or not. They actually had impactions in their colon. One mother, her husband was, sometimes you have resistance from the dads, but most of the time they're very, very, very supportive. But her husband didn't think what she was doing was smart, and it was helping get moving her son in the right direction. But he just decided to take their son to have an X-ray, and actually saw an impaction on that left side of his colon, which was beginning to dissolve and go away with a cup of enemas that she had done with him. But we hear these stories, and we know that some people do have these impactions. I don't want to get into colon cleansing because that's to come, but there's so much to say about that. But, please just hear that right now it's like pulling the dam, breaking down the dam so things can start to flow out of the liver and out of the lymph and out of the cells into the blood so that they can leave the body.
So it's cleansing your whole body. And I know that you and Pam are going to be talking about that for one of our sessions, so I'm sure everyone will look forward to that. We did get several questions about how to do enemas and colonics and some of the different things that would help with that. And, another question that comes in a lot, Donna, is some people lose a lot of weight when they first go on a healing diet like the body ecology diet, and we get the question, what do I do? How do I gain weight? Why does that happen during the detox process, and what can people do about it?
Well, we're holding on to quite a lot of, bad material, pathogenic material, and we're bloated and puffy. So in the beginning, there's usually about a good 10 pounds of bloating that is going to leave the body of a person who's thin. They'll particularly notice it in their face and neck and shoulders. But as they stay on the diet and, you know, get to the point where they're turning around, they'll start to put on healthy muscle mass. Now, that's why we recommend people take a drink like the Vitality Super Green, because, you know, it's got proteins and fatty acids and minerals and so on that are going to, in addition to eating, you would be taking this maybe one, two, three times a day to add additional nutrients. In the beginning, too, people's digestive tract isn't working well. That's what we're working to do, is correct digestion. But if the digestive tract isn't in great shape, which it usually isn't, then you want to find all these nutrient-dense foods that are fermented foods, like cultured vegetables, for example, and things like the Vitality Super Green. Just having a glass of that, you know, stirring a couple of scoops of that into a glass of water a couple of times a day, it makes a huge difference in supplying your body with nutrients. You'll always hear me steer people toward foods versus a lot of supplements. I'm not big on swallowing a whole lot of capsules. You can get up to where you're swallowing 100 a day if you read all the articles and, you know, it sounds like you need every single one of them. But food is miraculous, and it's medicine, and simple. I mean, that's because our bodies were designed to take in food, not to take in supplements. And given the right foods, given the foods that build our body instead of what's happening now, as I mentioned before, the catabolic decline, where we're just kind of wasting away. When you turn that around and you're going toward anabolic, you know, we're building our bodies back up again, then they'll put weight on and it will start to show. But I'm always going to steer people toward food, because our bodies were designed to take food, and food can be medicine if you know what foods are good for you. And that's what we are offering people.
That's great. And one of the cornerstones with respect to healing foods is the fermented foods and drinks. And we had a question from one of our listeners who's been organic for 20 years, raw for 10, vegetarian for 9, and vegan for 5. One of the things that he said is that he normally has 3 healthy bowel movements per day. He says they're usually odorless. Everything seems great. Occasionally, though, he'll eat certain fermented foods like veggie sauerkrauts and things like that, and he gets really bad gas, and his bowel movements tend to, you know, change, and they seem a little bit messed up to him. And he's wondering if there are certain probiotics that don't agree with some people's inner ecosystems.
Well, it's more of just the fact that it's a change. Like, obviously, I'm surprised this person is even on this, taking our class here, because they sound like they're really doing a lot of great things, but hopefully they'll find it was valuable. But I would say, here's what my guess is, and I don't know 100%, but from knowing how the digestive tract works and knowing how fermented foods works, you know, whatever he's eating in his normal way for 5 years being a vegan, for example, you know, the microflora in the gut turn up, you develop an inner ecosystem, and the microflora, they become used to working together, used to digesting that food. And if you start taking some other food, like, say, our cultured vegetables or young coconut kefir or one of our, you know, like cocoa biotic or passion fruit biotic, you start adding these new foods, there'll be different kinds of bacteria. Maybe Saccharomyces boulardii is not in his current inner ecosystem, and now you're adding it, for example. Maybe he doesn't have a lot of Plantarum. Now you're adding a bunch of Plantarum. Maybe it's a little, I mean, certainly he would have some, because Plantarum is naturally present on the vegetables that he's eating, but now you're adding in a whole bunch more. And so what they're going to do when they get in there is they're going to change the environment. That's just what they do. And they like to set up the environment that's best for them and best for you. And so I'm guessing that even though he's eating very well and taking great care of himself, that he'll start on the veggie krauts, for example, and which is what we call cultured vegetables, and he will experience this gas, and it'll be very short-lived. And one thing he can do is a home enema or go for a colonic, and, you know, they will oftentimes still act like cleansers, and they'll kind of nudge away some things that might be gathering in the intestines, and you can rinse that out. But if you keep drinking or eating the veggie kraut, for example, drinking the probiotic liquids, eating the veggie kraut, you'll be adding this healthy new bacteria, and in a little bit of time, the gas disappears. The inner ecosystems inside of us change based on the foods that we're eating. And if you're a dairy eater, or you're not eating dairy and you want to eat dairy, you're going to have to train the bacteria in your intestines to start eating this new food called milk or dairy or casein. And what we do, we tell people to start with young coconut kefir, which was made with dairy-loving bacteria. Now they're used to growing in the kefir, so they don't know about dairy yet. But what you do is you take a little bit of real healthy fermented dairy, like let's say milk kefir, and you take about a tablespoon or two that day, and then the next day you might take a couple of tablespoons the next day, and then the next day, and then the fourth day, and then after the fourth day maybe have 4 or 6 tablespoons. But what you're doing basically is introducing this new food very slowly and giving the microflora time to readjust so they understand, very intelligent. You want them to understand how to digest that food, that new food that's coming in. So it sounds to me like something like this is happening for him. I would encourage him to just continue on and keep doing it, because we know they're healthy for you. And as healthy as he is, I truly feel that if you just stay on him a little bit longer, he'll get past this initial stage. He will get even healthier.
That's really helpful to know. And, you know, one of the things that he was a little concerned about was this idea that when you culture foods, it's possible to have negative critters, he says, bad bacteria growing in them as well as the good ones that you want. What's your take on that?
In other words, he thinks the gas is being caused because there's some bad ones in there with the good ones?
Certain, and I don't know how he's making the cultured vegetables or if he's making them himself, but he's wondering if when you culture foods, is it just as possible to have bad bacteria as good bacteria?
No, not really, because the good bacteria crowd out the bad bacteria. That's one of their most important jobs, is to get rid of the bad guys. And so they are predominant, you know, they'll predominate until they start to die off. Now, if much time goes by and they disappear because they don't have any food and they die off, then bad guys can come into that food. But as long as they're alive and well. And another thing, too, is you can tell by the color. For example, if you're making cultured vegetables and they're nice and pretty colorful, like very red or very orange or very green, whatever, based on what the, you know, vegetables you've used to make them with, If they had a pathogen in there, they wouldn't look like that. They would be gray and awful looking. And you know, when you open a jar of cultured vegetables, they smell funny. And, you know, usually people think, oh, my gosh, what is that smell? But if you leave the jar off for a little while, the lid off, that quickly goes away. And then they smell great. They're very sour, but they smell fine. And that's not true of a bad batch that's spoiled that has pathogens in it. It smells bad. It smells bad. It smells bad. It always smells bad. And it looks awful. And you just naturally would know not to eat it.
Okay, that's great. That's really helpful. I have one more question. This is something that you had mentioned in the last class and even a little bit today about these, you know, plastic bottles and packaging. You had shared with me something that you wanted to make sure to share with the group, which is a company called Earth Circle Cinema, which just put out a movie about the world's addiction to plastic. And, mm-hmm. you know, the fact that we've, all over the world, we've had about a 100-year relationship with plastic, and it's used in everything. So you wanted to talk a little bit about using plastic and even, for example, the decisions that companies like Body Ecology have to make in terms of selecting how to package products.
Mm-hmm. Well, of course, all of us in the health food field are really concerned about that. We, glass is an alternative, but they're very difficult to work with. Get glass that will bring the price of the product up, and most people wouldn't want to pay for that. They're difficult to ship, glass bottles, but and they're heavy to ship, so that brings the cost up as well, too. But fortunately, today we have recyclable plastic bottles that we use. Still, I would love to challenge our scientists to come up with something better. Plastics are such a part of our life. They have been such a part of our life for the last 60 years or so that we're not going to just suddenly say, let's avoid all plastics. Now, yes, you can go to the health food store, or any store, actually, with your own bag that you purchase. I mean, I actually started doing that myself. It took me a little while to remember to bring them, but sometimes I leave them in the car and have to go back and get them. But I feel so proud of myself when she says, did you bring your own bags? And I say, yes, I did. And we, you know, fill 2, 3, 4 bags up and off we go. But that's a simple step that people can make to reduce the amount of plastic. I even sometimes, you know, I get the plastic bags you say you put your vegetables in. Like if I bought zucchini and I put it, you know, they've got the little plastic bags up above that you pull off and you put your zucchini in there, I'll actually take those back to the store and reuse those too. So I'm very proud of myself for doing that. This movie that you're talking about, the joining the Earth Cinema Circle, they have always, they send out the most wonderful little short movies, documentaries, and so on of really interesting things always pertaining to the environment. They're real thought provokers, and I would love for people to subscribe to that, not just to support this company doing this great work in the world and educating us, but also you get 4 or so a month, and 4 little films a month, and you can sit there with your family and besides educate yourself, you can educate your children. I'd love to see teachers using these, but after you finish watching these with your family, your friend, or your children, you can sit there and have a really fascinating conversation. But these are the things that motivate us to get to start making changes in the world. And another website that I'd like to steer people to is it's just diagnoseme.com. And it's diagnose, diagnose-me.com. And when you get on there, look for the one that talks. There's a couple of articles on liver detoxification. There's one really good one on phase 1 and phase 2 liver detoxification. I started to go into that in this session, but I thought it's probably too complicated, more than many people will want. But if we have people listening that really want to kind of deepen their understanding of how the liver works, educate themselves more on that, this is a great website to go to.
Great. Well, we will provide a link to the diagnoseme.com where you can get that information, as well as to Earth Cinema Circle for anyone who really wants to make a difference in the environment. And, you know, one thing I wanted to say is that when I started to eat really healthy, I had a corporate job, very fast-paced. I often found myself bringing breakfast, lunch, and dinner to work with me before I started to change my lifestyle around. But the first thing I started with was a really healthy diet, and I was like a lot of our other listeners who write in and ask about, you know, what do I do? How do I store my products? You know, I'd like to use all glass, but then you can't really take all glass to work safely without things potentially breaking or without it being really heavy. And I think one of the things I had to come to the conclusion about back then was I still have to live my life, and there will be times that I have to use plastic until I can find maybe the right little stainless steel or glass or ceramic container. But as you said, take it step by step. And so the first thing I did was start using Tupperware to take all of my things to work. And as time went on, I found, you know, better things, but, you know, maybe not the perfect thing. So,
and not disposable things, like reusable things. That's a big
reusable things, exactly. And I think, you know, the idea that we do the best we can and we make the best choices we can, and that there are going to be times that we have to make choices out of convenience, and we'll just do the best we can with reusable things, like you just said, to make it so that we can live our lives and still live them as healthy as we possibly can.
You know, sometimes we get questions from people like, what do the the probiotic liquids have to be in plastic? Because usually if you're making coconut kefir, if you're making cultured vegetables, I would definitely say ferment those in glass or even stainless steel, but definitely, you know, don't ferment them in plastic. But our probiotic liquids are made, they're not fermented in plastic, but then we have to put them in a plastic bottle to be able to ship them. And if you look at the bottle, you'll notice that they have little expansion lines on them because the probiotic, you know, microflora inside, they go to sleep sometimes, and then the product shrinks. It doesn't look like you have as much in the bottle. Then other times, you know, it gets a little bit warmer, so a whole bunch of them wake up and then expand, and then the bottle goes, you know, looks like you've got more liquid in the bottle. They're changing and moving all the time, so glass would not work. And the other thing, too, is that, of course, we have them tested all the time after they're made, after they've been in the bottle for a week, a month, a year, and there's no sign of any kind of poison coming from the plastic. Now, I feel the reason for that is that another very, very important job of the microflora is to get rid of poison. So when we eat food with poisons in them, those microflora are in there negating those poisons, transforming them into something less toxic. And, you know, perhaps they are doing that with the plastic. I don't know. But there's never any sign of any kind of plastic poisonings in any of our liquids. So I wanted to point that out, too.
That's a good testament to what they can do inside our bodies, so that's really great. Well, Donna, I want to thank you for everything that you shared with us tonight, and I also want to thank all of you listening for joining us for the second class in Body Ecology's detoxification training. Mm-hmm.